One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Hey guys, just a quick reminder that if you click on the link in the bio, Beer 52 will send you 8 free beers and 2 free snacks for this bank holiday weekend. All you gotta do is click the link in the bio, pay the postage and packaging, and it'll be sent straight to your door for you to have the loosest weekend of all time.
A bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money, now that's the key.
Here we go. Another bank holiday. I can't bloody wait. My main message to all of you is same again, please. We did bloody well last time. Let's do it. Drink with me in the ship or at the Petri. Bank holiday. So come get loose with me. Lash, lash, with all the rugby boys, chopping pints and chirping with some felines. Drink with me, I'll be wearing my tie, be clapper. It's such a great place to be, I'm so happy. Can you not see? So come and drink with me, please, guys. Come on, guys, please. Drink with me. I'll be at the ship or the Pear Tree. Just DM me, find me, come drink with me. Probably be at Arch Street Wine Bar and Inferno's at some point. Can't wait. But seriously, please come drink with me. Please.
Archie, where the hell did that come from? I should say, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to episode 177 of the Rubius Podcast. But Archie, come on.
Well, it's a little treat for the listeners, Clodis. Yeah. I've been working on that, top secret, really. I've been working on that since last bank holiday. Obviously, we're becoming quite famous for remixing classic 90s songs. Yeah. That's taken me probably the best part of 7 evenings to do.
Wow, good. That's a waste of time.
Yeah. Really. Because I've actually got a band in to come into my house and record the song.
Well, like a covers band.
Yeah. So wow, that costs quite a lot.
A weird life you live.
I mean,
could just get it off YouTube.
But yeah, I could have, but I prefer singing with a live band. Yeah.
Well, it's worth it. It sounded good to me.
No, it's great, and it's true, mate. You know, it is. It's bank holiday. I'm bloody excited. I'll probably be at the ship and the Pear Tree.
By yourself.
Well, no, there are people about. Okay. Plus, like now, I've got like over 90,000 followers. I'd say friends, really. I'm never alone. You know, wherever I go, I bump into someone who, you know, loves my work.
Yeah.
You know, I could be in a park. You know, I'll go and sit on the bench by myself and someone will come and talk to me.
Well, I hope you had a more exciting weekend than that last weekend with the Falcons end of season
mate,
two.
Yeah.
Did you tear up the North Gate?
I'm excited about bank holiday and it was so loose last weekend, end of season. I've been on a 4-day fast.
Really?
I've had to
no
food, no drink. Just black coffee.
Okay.
And I actually feel like half good, half like I might faint.
Okay.
But it's an amazing feeling.
You know, you're on the edge.
Sometimes you feel like you're ready to run a marathon. Other times you just literally can't get out of bed.
You want to crawl up and die.
Yeah, but, mate.
Tell us about the weekend.
It was probably up there with the loosest end of season shindig I've been part of.
Really?
I mean, first and foremost, 30 of us all committed to the hat theme. So,
was it as funny as you thought it would be?
Yeah,
was it?
Yeah, it was really, really funny. Because I've got some really good photos I'll show you later.
Oh, no, it's okay.
Of just all of us in a bar wearing hats. obviously, Sparky was wearing a Christmas hat. I still actually cracks it. I mean, I've been laughing ever since he told me, and when he wore it, I was in hysterics most of the evening.
Yeah.
Every time I walked past him, I just burst into like hysterics. Like,
sounds like a good night.
I was like, we're so far away from Christmas.
Yeah.
You lunatic.
Oh my God.
And I wore a Peaky Blinders hat. That was
standard,
quite cool.
Pretty standard.
Quite a lot of us actually wore that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was classic. The pace was pretty good. Mm-hmm. There was good momentum in the peloton. Everyone was sticking together.
Yeah.
But then I think about 9 o'clock, I broke away from the peloton, mate. And I, you know, I just went for it.
Yeah.
And there was a massive gap. you know, if this was a race, I was going to win.
Why didn't they go with it?
Because I'd actually forgotten there was a boxing on.
Fuck.
So by about 10 o'clock, mate, I can't remember. I can't remember anything.
Did you watch the boxing?
No. Last thing I remember is I was in McDonald's.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Having some chicken tenders. And I remember trying to take the breadcrumbs off the chicken just to get to the chicken breast. Yeah. But I was so last. In the end, I just said, sod it. Hence why, you know, I had about 30 chicken tenders in McDonald's.
Jesus.
Sobered up. But then the next day felt terrible. So that's why I've been on a 4-day fast.
Well, also, you're going on holiday, right? You just told
me.
What's that about?
I'm off next week. So I'm off on Tuesday morning.
Where are you going?
Off to Portugal for 4 days, doing a intensive padel training course and fitness camp. Okay. There'll be a bit of business out there as well. So,
taking Johnny Jono?
Yeah, Johnny Jono and Annie are coming. I think it's really important that Johnny Jono gets exposed to as much padel as possible because it's going to be such a prevalent sport in her youth.
Well, Archie, today we're joined by British and Irish Lion legend and a Welsh legend, won multiple Grand Slams. We've tried to get him on a couple of times before, and he's let us down, so maybe third time lucky.
Clodagh, I've got high expectations. You know, we had Shanks on a few weeks ago, and he absolutely smashed it. I'm expecting the same from Alex Cuthbert.
So am I.
You know, he's done it all. You know, he's won a Grand Slam, he's played for the British and Irish Lions, he's played for Wales, he's won the Premiership, won the European Cup. I mean, he should have the chat to back it up. I think there's probably only one thing to say. Onside chat. We'd expect nothing better than technical issues when we're doing a podcast with Alex Cuthbert. Last time he was just walking in a random park with no connection, and this time he's using a Nokia 3210.
Yeah, sorry, it's my bat phone.
I've got one of those, and so's my boss. It's predominantly just to message girls that aren't his wife.
I think we're here.
It's fine.
Cuthers, it has Sorry, taken boys. Us 4 years, 7 attempts since we last met you in that quarry, as Archie said. How come it's taken so long to get you on an award-winning podcast?
Obviously, you boys have been too busy for me. You have had all these hot shots on your pod, and I've been down the pecking order, I guess, haven't I, over the years?
No, you haven't.
Right, we're trying to get you on a while back, but you were walking through some park, telling some quite sort of suspect stories, and then the line went, and you said, I'll call you back in 2004 when my international career may be over, and I can be a little bit looser.
Yeah, well, it's not far off that, is it now, really, to be fair?
Are you still playing rugby? Because it looks like you're just sort of a horse racing trainer with Johnny Hill, of all people.
yeah, doing a bit of that on the side. No, I did come back to play a couple of weeks ago and I ruptured my hamstring. So I just had an op the other day.
Are you playing for Cardiff now?
No, I'm at the Ospreys now.
You used to be a Cardiff boy back in the day.
Yeah, 10 years.
Just trying to think of the Ospreys that follow me. Is there a winger called Giles?
Yeah, Keelan.
Keelan, he follows me. He looks pretty handy.
Do you have all your followers in team arrangement?
I put them in team arrangement, country arrangement.
Well, you've got to update his. You still got them down at Cardiff.
Yeah, well, I've got them in Cardiff. I'll go through my Filofax tonight and I'll arrange it.
Cuthers, you say you're injured currently, which is shocking, but you'll be back hopefully soon enough. But let's talk about missing out on the World Cup through an injury, because that was absolutely gutting.
You have to start with the bad news.
Well, no, I was just going to say, you know, that was going to be a great campaign. Yeah. But since then, you probably haven't been that disappointed to miss out on Welsh rugby because they've been absolutely awful. Were you pretty happy to miss the Six Nations campaign? And secondly, how brutal was that World Cup camp leading up to the World Cup in France?
With regards to the Six Nations, it was pretty poor, wasn't it? Fucking hell. It's one of them. You do it for the cash, don't you, sometimes? So that's usually the extra incentive, but I would have loved to have been involved, you know, just maybe been my last one. Not to be, but yeah, going back to the original question in terms of the World Cup, absolutely brutal, mate. Like, it fucks me, really. Simple as that. But tell us how brutal.
Like, what were you guys doing? Because apparently a couple of guys have come on and said, like, we can't even tell you how brutal it was.
So I broke my foot in the Six Nations last year, and I came back. Within this third or fourth session back, we were running 24-50 returns off 20 seconds rest. A minute off, straight into like 15. The running was just insane. And then we did like 15, 80 meters and back. And then we did like another 12, 10 on 10 off. It was just like, and it was about 35 degrees. Then we go into like games, rugby skills, and then we do it all again.
How did the props survive? Like, what are they doing? They can't survive that. Like, people like Dylan Lewis, I mean, he's got no chat, and he's got literally the wobbliest rig out there. Like, how's he surviving?
We get a cone to run to, so the props are obviously a lot closer to the try line than us.
Okay.
So we're all on the line in the field, So obviously all us back three are running really far. The props are running like half the distance. And then when we run back, we're catching them back up. And we all finish at the same time near enough.
Clever.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But obviously, if you're struggling, the more reps you do, you struggle. So if you're not hitting the line, then the cone will just slowly come further forward.
Yeah. And in a way, metaphorically, the props, they do that on a different, on a like social level. The cone to meet females is further away than the back three. You know, you get Cuthbert, you get, you know, Lewis Rees-Sammet. Yeah. They walk into a bar. It's probably the first cone. They get the number. They see the deal. You know, the big wobbly rigs, they're meeting one girl, two girl, three girl, four girl, five girl, six girl.
Yeah.
To probably the 20th girl where they ask, you know, do I have a snob? And then they get it.
Yeah, they usually take what's left.
Any
time for the piss? Apparently Gatland loves the piss. So was there a bit of like loose nights sort of sewed into the fact you guys were getting worked so hard?
Not in this World Cup camp, but in a World Cup, the 2019 World Cup camp in Turkey, they let the boys who were above, I think, 60 or 70 caps or 30 years old. So they all went out on the piss in this beach bar. And then all the other boys had to go and do the training session in like, you know, like 45, 50 degree heat. And when the boys came back from the training session, all the lads, like, I think they took the piss quite badly and they were all absolutely hammered, like steaming, like fighting each other a lot, you know. And then obviously there had to be a bit of a ban on certain drinking involvements within the World Cup camps because they took the piss massively.
No, to be fair, we have something similar at the Clapham Falcons. Obviously, you know, we have FX. FX Tuesdays.
Yeah.
It's where we sort of have, after training, we have a few beers and we discuss FX trading. And that's only for guys who have played four or more seasons for the Clapham Falcons, or if you're at a certain salary banding. So if you're like on...
But you don't get paid to... Oh, sorry, how much you earn in the city?
150 to 200, you can come in. And there's a couple of young guns who have done that. So put quite impressive. There's a guy who's 24... he works in insurance and he's doing 165 basic because obviously they sign that out when they join. I say, mate, come in. Come and enjoy FX trading.
Sounds great.
Cuthers, mate, if you want to get involved, let me know. I could tap you in on the Zoom.
I need that probably about July, mate. So
July,
that's all
okay.
Right.
Well, what's going on? Are you going to plan to retire like Hoggy out of the blue? I mean, talking about Hoggy, is he good a night out? You must have caused some damage together in Exeter.
Hoggy, yeah, there's a few stories probably kept between himself and whoever. We're down there, but
I saw him in Marseille. Very, very loose individual. It's quite disturbing.
Yeah, he is very, very loose, which is probably why he went to Exeter from Glasgow. I think if he was in London, I think his rugby career would have been over a long time ago.
Well, you could have obviously played for England in hindsight because you were born in Gloucester, West Country, sort of where Archie was at school. How did you celebrate England winning the World Cup in 2003?
I was probably just down the local rugby club, Westbury on Seven, with my old man. I remember watching that. I didn't really play a lot of rugby that age. I was quite into my athletics, used to horse ride a lot. Rugby, I just played with my mates on a Sunday morning. You know, that was me and my rugby.
What kind
and
of horse riding?
I sort of fell
riding?
Into it as I got older.
What kind of
I
horse?
I used to show jump.
You
used to
show jump.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. So that was about 16. And then the rugby and football and stuff sort of took over then.
Did that, someone tap you on the shoulder and say, listen, mate, you're not going to get any birds if you carry on this way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you'd be surprised how many birds you get doing that. I'll tell you that, there's not many lads that are doing it.
Well, so, Hoggy's new bird's a horse racer, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, Leona Mayer, yeah. I think she's in the racing business, yeah.
Yeah.
Fair play. There's a lot of them, especially in show jumping.
Talking about Gloucester, obviously you made the transition from show jumping to rugby, and thank God you did for both your sex life and also just all the fans of Welsh rugby. But you studied at Hartbury College. Genji came on and said it was fucking brutal, old school as you get. What are your memories of Hartbury?
Yeah, not far off that, mate. I remember my first year I got there. That was like the first time I sort of lived away from my parents, you know, and that's when you get into living in the halls. I don't know if Genji lived in the halls or not. Did he say that, you know? Did he live at Hartbury or not?
I think he may have lived.
No, I think he was still in the hard streets of Bristol.
Probably.
Yeah. He was thinking future-wise, this is, if I stay in halls, this is not good for the Netflix documentary.
Probably for a good thing as well, yeah. That's exactly what, you know, the first couple of years I was there was like, really, you know. I guess that's where you learn all your life lessons. And obviously that's when I got a call to go to UIC for the Wales Sevens. So that's the one reason I left, really. Otherwise, I would have just stayed at Hartbury, probably.
Okay, but Cuthers, were there any people when you got there who were like on the upper, like the upper echelons? They're like, oh, look, that's Archie Curzon there. He's got a scholarship. He's absolutely unreal. But they didn't make it because they just thought they were the bee's knees.
Loads of them, mate. There was a guy called Josh McLaurin, back row. He was a guy that went there with, they thought he was going to be professional. A guy called Lee Chapman. What? My year was like Johnny May, Henry Trinder. Richard Barrington was with me. We used to play for like the thirds. So he was number eight. That was, you know, we had a good social in that team for the thirds. It was great crap.
What happened to the guys? What happened to Josh, who was going to play for England? What happened to him? Do you know?
They were from up north. So they were playing for just a couple of those champ or League One teams.
Do you ever?
But me, I was just there for thirds, like, you know.
Do you ever message the guys who didn't make it and just be like, do you see I won the European Cup?
They messaged me.
Oh, they messaged you. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Hi, mate. Don't worry. Just wondered if you could get me a signed shirt. I'm afraid I can't, mate.
Yep.
You made me drink a pint of sick at Harbury. You can fuck off.
You made me sleep on the floor in my own room, yeah.
You mentioned playing sevens. Obviously, that was your first break into pro rugby. What was that like? A couple of years traveling the world, up to no good. Wales have never been that good at sevens, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, you'd be surprised. The year I joined, they actually won the World Cup, 2009. Hell.
That's bad research.
Yeah, that is bad. So hold on, Cuthers, mate. Can you write that down? Because we have to bring that up in your one-on-one.
Yeah, sorry.
Because I just, that's just not
yeah, that's sorry. Sorry.
We've got a big time rugby star, sorry. And then you get that.
Yeah, sorry, Cuthers.
Right. Sorry, carry on.
Mate, it was class, because I was in Cardiff Uni, and I had no money, nothing. And every campaign, if we got to a quarter final, we got an extra £500. So we were all just trying to get as hard as possible this £500. So then that would last me to the next tournament. So we did, like, I think the first tournament was like Dubai, South Africa. Oh. We got to a quarterfinal, one of them. But that £500 then got us to the Christmas. So we did Hong Kong. I think, no, it was Wellington in New Zealand and Vegas. I broke my collarbone in the day before Vegas, and they got to a semi-final. Oh, and I missed out on £1,500. And I went back skint because I was only like 19, but we were in the Hard Rock hotel, and I spent all my money in the casino, pretty much.
Super Sunday there, Hard Rock Cafe. Great Sunday session.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Write it down. Were you guys flying business class or were you in economy?
Oh, no, we were economy. The only boys that flew business were the Kiwi boys because they won every week.
Fuck me.
So they were at the front and we were just stuck at the back.
And Cuthers, we've been quite PC so far. Give us the dirt on what's the greatest city. As a young man going around the world, which was the great city for a night out?
Back when you were top shagger.
Yeah.
Wellington was a good one, mate. Wellington Sevens used to be the... But I don't know if you spoke to any of us about it, but it was unbelievable. It was the one tournament everyone wanted to be knocked out early doors because you'd have first pick of all the women around the stadium when you did your lap of honour.
I think Ollie Phillips put that down for his favourite Sevens tournament.
You then started playing for Cardiff 15s. But you were still living with eight mates from uni, am I right, in a frat house? So how did you sort of balance being professional and living with eight guys who were up to no good?
Yeah, it was tough, mate. I'm not going to lie. It was, you know, they were out most nights, weekends, and obviously I was playing. I was quite lucky that period, that first year, 2011-12. We played every Friday night. So we'd play mostly against Friday night, and we'd go out Friday night, Saturday night, and then we'd be in Monday. We didn't have a coach at the time. It was very player-led. So poor Tito, Xavier Rush, they would run the team pretty much. So we train not very often. I remember my first year, I was like, geez, this is what professional rugby's like. You know, we were out every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Sunday, the odd Tuesday or Wednesday night. We were like, geez, I was like, this is wild. And then we had a coach come in. And I was like, right, okay, this is what it's actually like.
but the thing you'll be surprised about, Fred, and Cuthers will sort of relay this as well. The nice thing is, like, if you play on a Friday, you burn a shed load of calories. So you're in a calorie deficit. And then, you know, obviously you take on a few drinks, you might get in a surplus, which is not bad to be because you're trying to build muscle. But if you are trying to watch the kegs, going to like walkabout and doing a few laps of that, even with the drink, you'll burn a shed load of calories. But actually, by the time you get back from walkabout and the walk past Chippy Lane, back to your house, you might have taken on a few carbs. It all balances itself out. So you're actually in reasonably good shape. The thing that will defeat you is the Saturday because you will be in a surplus. I'm correct, right, saying that, Cuthers?
Yep. Saturday nights were definitely a bit tougher, but... They were the best nights usually.
That's as a semi-pro rugby player, that's why I love going out on game day.
Well, Carthus, tell us about Pauly, because you obviously made your debut in 2011, but he played for another year for Wales. He retired, well, he stopped getting picked in 2012. You must have a couple of great stories of your times with Pauly.
There was a couple of stories, but the one that sort of comes out to me, I remember, it's not a big one, but it's like in terms of the 2012, we won the Grand Slam for Wales, didn't we? And when you play for Wales, you get a certain amount of that money depending on how many games you play. So say if you only play one, you get one-fifth of the, what do we get, 120 grand, I think it was. Ooh. I remember at the time, Pauly wasn't getting picked at all, and he was like, this is shit, why aren't I getting picked? I should be, you know, blah, blah, blah. But at the time, no one realised he had a bet on. It wasn't on rugby or anything, but it was on like, it was a bet ongoing, and he doubled it on, I think it was like Real Madrid to beat Barcelona one game, and he ended up winning like 150 grand cash. So he took more money than anyone in the camp in the 6 weeks, than any of the boys that worked their asses off to win the Grand Slam. And then obviously that was his last tour then, and he was like, yeah, fuck off, lads, see you later.
I'll tell you now, Cutters, I think he spent that 150k because when he came to the podcast, he was he was messaging both of us at 3 o'clock in the morning asking if we could deposit some money into his bank account with a safe assurance that he would pay the interest back on it. Unfortunately, I was asleep. It did seem like quite a good thing to do.
Talking about characters, obviously you trained under the great Sean Edwards and Gatlin for many years. What's the craziest interactions you've had with them? Have you ever sort of been physically taken out by Sean? Have you ever had like a weird fight like Shane Williams did with Gatland?
Me and Gats got on quite well because he was into his horses in the racing, so we were quite close in terms of that. We used to, you know, follow that a lot together, so we got on really well. Sean, I got on really well with Sean. He's just like, I don't think I've ever met anyone with the character that he has for such a, I guess, small man to be such an angry and think that, I don't know, you know, like he just got that sort of mentality. But there's a few stories on Sean in terms of, there was one in France, which I want to say so badly, but one of the other lads that were that was on the trip, he is going to be able to tell it better. And also, when it comes out, it is so funny.
Oh, but, mate, we don't care about the other person on the trip. You tell us.
Oh, no, I don't know the whole thing properly, so I don't think I'd do it justice. But in terms of, it'd just be something to do with him and a load of sleepers. so you can imagine, like, 3-4 in the morning. Yeah, it's along those lines. But yeah, Sean is one of those guys that all you see him in a team meeting before training, you'll see him in his little bit in training, and then you don't see him. He's gone. He's like the most recluse bloke ever. He'll be gone. Then you'll see him for the next training day or game day, and then that's it. He does his little bit, and he fucks off.
What's Dan Bigger like? Obviously now taking Geary's place on the rugby pod.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like a good bloke, mate.
What's he like?
Doesn't sound like a good bloke, Fred. He's turned a
backstabber, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
He understands rugby very, very well. You know, he was a good... He kept that Welsh team together for a long period of time in terms of he's the one that's not scared to tell, right, we're not training today, or I think this is bullshit. You know, he's one of them. That's what Wales don't have right now. He's a serious leader. Sometimes he's not the best bloke to maybe have around you if you're maybe a little bit under confidence or, you know, maybe a little bit scared to do what you're in the team to do sometimes, you know, because it has to be sort of a certain way, because international rugby, you know, is on another fucking level compared to club rugby. And I don't, that's the trying to let the public understand the difference, because I think you see a lot of players who are like really good at club level, and then you see them play international and they are, you know, they're nothing, which is why there's so many boys that stay in international rugby for a long period of time.
Yeah, and to be fair, like on that, I mean, fair play to Bigger, because, you know, I've come across lads who've done sort of regional business, but, you know, like I do international business, Cutters. So, you know, like if I'm in the office and I hear these guys do their phone calls, and I'll sort of take them aside and I'll be like, look, that phone call is the manner. Ain't right. You didn't even ask how they were.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't even ask if the phone call found them well. I didn't even ask about the weather. And then I will put the pressure on them. You know, I'll be listening to I'll stand there over the top of my hands on my hips with my mic, you know, my headset on, just literally my crotch in their face. And I'll put the pressure on it. And they're lacking confidence. And that will, it's some of them crumble. I've only had one person go to HR. But I mean, she just didn't get it. She left in the end. I had a feeling she was a Labour supporter as well, so I had to get rid.
I don't think investing in Richard Hibbard's cafe is international business.
No, I've backed Hibs to the hills and back. When he came on the podcast, when I saw him doing his alcohol, that's it. I thought that I'm having a bit of that. And to be fair, he's so, when you put him on camera, that sells online. He's an e-commerce machine. When he comes on and he delivers it, he's unbelievable. So no, I had to back him to the hills. But I mean, the thing about Dan Bigger, I don't want to go into it, but you know, we asked him to come on the pod, the names we gave him, and then he sends a little wet text message to someone else to send to us. I was like, you're not a good bloke.
Hibbert.
No, Dan Bigger.
Oh, Bigger. Yeah.
Hibbert's a great guy. Yeah, if I'm going out with one person, I'm having a crazy night. Hibs,
yeah.
I'm dead.
Did the whole interview in bed, didn't he?
Yeah, he did an interview. Hibs. He did an interview with us just in bed, lying down, almost like you could
did
see.
Really?
It. Yeah, well, it was absolutely extraordinary.
Well, Alex,
him and Paul James together would be good. Commercial
break. Hey guys, it's the slightly recognisable tones of Mr. Freddie Code here. Just jumping in to say that I would love you guys to check out my other podcast, the award-nominated Go-To Food Podcast. Each week on a Monday, I'm joined by some of the biggest food influencers and chefs from all around the world, and we have a couple of cocktails, a bit of food, and we discuss their incredible careers. But also, we delve into their go-tos, from their meal deal combinations, their hangover cures, their favourite restaurants in London, and also their long weekend getaways, just everything foodie. If you want to escape for 45 minutes each Monday and listen to some of the greatest names and greatest people in this world, then please give us a listen. I've linked it in the podcast notes below, so you can click through there or just type in the Go-To Food Pod. But please, check us out. I promise you, you will enjoy it. Anyway, without further ado, let's get back to Mr. Cuthbert. 2012, you were obviously Grand Slam winners. An incredible team, like maybe the last great, 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 great team. But that incredible form in your own right got you called up to the Lions. Now, we've had a lot of that Lions squad on this podcast, and they've all said the last great tour, the last time we could let our hair down, enjoy the rugby on the pitch, but most importantly, shame ourselves off it. Obviously, some stories we can't tell, but just give us a couple we can from the social side of things.
We lost the second test, and we flew to Noosa, and then day one, we were there, we went on the piss for a day, but we had to make sure that we turned up training for the Tuesday. So what happened is, obviously, they named the team quite early on the Tuesday morning. But obviously, we had a lot of boys who were hungover, obviously pissed off, not involved. We trained on the Tuesday, and then it got a little bit tasty in one of the sessions, because we were doing this drill where you do, there's about five or six of you, and it's an offload drill. So you have like two tacklers, one, two, and one, and you have to go through in between, you know, the 15 and the trial and the touchline. And what they did, a bit stupidly maybe, was put a lot of the boys that weren't going to be picked for that final test, because obviously everyone wanted to play that final test, didn't they? And yeah, it got unbelievably physical in terms of training-wise. I remember Ian Evans was in the middle, and I've never seen him hit everyone so hard that they had to stop the drill and go, all right, boys, we're done. And then they told us that the lads that weren't involved, we didn't need to train for the rest of the week. Oh, so we were literally on a glorified stag do from the Tuesday onwards up to the first test.
Alex, is there, like everyone, obviously, we've had a number of people come on here, been on a British Lions tour. And like Luke Harrandicke was probably the most, I guess, straight with everyone, said that there weren't some great people. I mean, everyone says everyone bonds. Was there anyone that you went on the British Lions tour you like just wouldn't keep in contact with? And it was just like, look, you're just not my kind of person.
Fuck, you'd be surprised. That tour was, so I keep in contact with a lot of the Irish boys quite well. So Rob, I remember for years, every time we played Leinster, I'd stay around his after we go out for piss in Dublin. Zeba, Conor Murray, boys like that, you know, would always be contact. The only boys that were maybe a little bit clicky, but they were really great lads, were the Leicester lads. So it was like Crofty, Ben Youngs, Tom Youngs, Coley, but I ended up rooming with Coley, and he was unbelievable. He was great crack. But they were obviously all quite, they were all family and a little bit, they weren't quite open as the Irish boys.
Cuthbert, let's talk roommates. Obviously, you've been around the world with Wales and of course the Lions and your club. Who's been the worst roommate you've ever had? I mean, we've all got one who's been an absolute shocker. And why?
James King for Wales, used to play Ospreys. He actually left one night because his missus left the heating on and he had to go home and turn it off.
Oh my God. This guy played international rugby. Oh my God. What a wet flannel. That is why I'm never getting married. No way. No one's telling me to put the heating off. Oh my fucking God. What's this guy's name? James King.
Oh my God.
How many caps? How many caps of Wales?
He can't have many.
Sure, but I don't even know. He's one of the tightest blokes ever.
Oh, fuck it. Right? Come here. I'm going to find him. I've always wanted to say that.
I've always wanted to tell him.
Cuppers, obviously, you scored a crucial try on that first test. We won that first test. Why didn't you play in the next two?
The second test, I thought I was playing all week, and they didn't name the team until Thursday. And they said, Rob Howley came and came up to me. And I was, you know, I was buzzing. I thought I was going to be starting the second test. All my family came over for that second test. All my mates, I had about all the lads so I was living with, all flew over. He came up to me and said, "Oh yeah, you're on the bench this weekend." And I was like, "What? Like, why?" And they go, "Oh, we're going with Tommy Bowe, a bit more experience." I said, "You fucking joking? Like, I've just had a worldy game." And he's like, "No, we need experience." And I was like, "Right, fuck this." Went straight to casino, lost everything, watched the state of origin. I had to have a few beers and then got in, obviously, probably quite late. And Friday morning, then I was in the breakfast and Jamie came up to me and goes, "Mate, did you go out last night?" I was like, "Nah, what are you on about?" He goes, "Because Howlis has come up to me and he's adamant that he's been told that he's seen you out." I was like, "No, nah, I don't know what you're on about, mate." So then on the Saturday, I was going to come on for George because he's injured and they didn't put it on. And I found out they thought I was out that Thursday. So that's why they didn't put me on. Oh. And then they dropped me completely for the last test because Jamie Roberts came back fit. So they needed cover for centre. So they put Manu on the bench instead.
Oh. So. Fucking Jamie Roberts.
Anyone that would respect you being a casino, that would be Rob Howley.
Well, you think so, wouldn't you? Looking back now, yeah.
Cuppers, did you celebrate any nights in Infernos? I mean, many sort of titles, both through Wales and Exeter and Cardiff.
We've been there a few times, to be fair. Got a good story about one of my mates, actually. He is married to a girl called Sophie, who works for Margot Robbie. I remember him telling me about Infernos the first ever time. And he went out one night with her and his wife now, Sophie. Obviously, he was out in Infernos with Margot Robbie and this girl that he was obviously seeing at the time. And Margot Robbie's just dressed in a pair of tracksuit bottoms and a top. And he said the amount of times people come up to her and be like, "Geez, you look exactly like Margot Robbie." And they're like, "Oh, yeah." And she's like, "Oh, it's definitely not you because you'd never turn up at Infernos."
Fuck.
And then he's obviously ended up marrying this girl. So, yeah, Margot Robbie's there all the time, mate. Yeah.
Well, I've told the story many times. I actually one night thought I'd pulled Margot Robbie, but it just turned out
it might have been her, mate.
No, it was a girl from Essex.
Ah, right. Okay.
From the back, her hair, it looked like Margot Robbie. So when I approached it, I surveyed the thing and I just thought I'm going to spin around and just go for it. Spin around, went in, like that. Then I just thought. Because you know what it's like, Cuthers, as a rugby player, you want to survey the situation. Took a step back.
Do a few laps,
Just to see. And then when I pulled out, wasn't Margot Robbie, didn't look anything like her. Had a really big nose and really big ears. But then I shook her hand. I said, "Look, great doing. Lovely to meet you." And she's got her own salon. When I snogged her, she was just cutting hair. Now she's gone on to have her own salon.
That's great. Yeah. Congratulations. Is she listening?
Yeah, she listens every week. And like, to be fair to her, I said to her, like, if you want to get a bit of VC, venture capitalist behind you and sort of start a string of hairdressers, I said, "Oh, I know a few people. I'd be interested." And they're brilliant. She's doing so well.
She got your hair?
No. I would never give anyone the secrets of who cuts my hair. Okay. It's forgiven. But when she started, she only had 2 seats.
Wow.
Salon. Now she's got 6 seats, 4 full-time staff, and a work experience girl. Wow. So she's doing remarkably well. Well done, Philippa.
Yeah, shout out to Philippa.
Yeah. She's a big listener. She's a big fan of Alice Cuthbert. She said she once met you in Inferno.
Sure she is. Yeah. Met a few people in Inferno, yeah.
Cuthers, when you got back from the Lions, you played 12 games in a row for Wales without scoring a try. That triggered what can only describe as disgraceful online abuse. Let's get serious for 1 second because Archie's faced it. You faced it. How tough was that period when you were just getting fucking peppered every single day online?
It was tough, mate, because I'd gone from, as soon as I joined Wales, everything was just like that. You know, like we won Grand Slam Championship Lions Tour. And then we had a blip then where my club team, Cardiff, wasn't playing very well. And then that's transitioning then into Wales. And then as a winger, from scoring nearly every game to suddenly then not scoring for 12 games, it's one of them where I just didn't know how to deal with it, really. You know, no one taught me how to deal with the shit that you get online. And it was all very new. And then I was just taking a lot of it to personally. And then that was transforming then into my performances. And, you know, there were days where, like, I didn't want to leave the house because I didn't want to go to the shops because I thought someone, do you know what I mean? That's how bad it was at one point. You know, some of the messages I had was, but now I look back at it, it was like.
What, like death threats just, almost?
Yeah, I one of the games I had about five or six saying, oh, you should kill yourself, you know. But there are obviously all these people are steamed up, aren't they, and stuff. But
they're not steamed up. They're people who also don't leave the house. Like, they are the worst of the worst.
Yeah, probably. And there's a lot of them.
I would have sent
them
a snapshot of your paycheck and just say, all right, don't worry, cheers.
It was doing all right at the time as well. Priestland obviously had a fair amount as well at sort of same time. So well, we were in the same boat already. But
hold on. Cutters, wait. 2 seconds. We're talking about two different blokes, okay? Both have been on the podcast. So talking about Reece Britt, great guy. But my God. Sometimes he probably needs that abuse to sort of kick him up the arse on the chat front. Cutters, I understand the Priestland thing. Like, yeah, I actually play Reece Priestland. When Reece Priestland came on the podcast, I play that podcast to my daughter to get her to sleep.
That's not fair, though. You've just signed him up to be an ambassador.
No, I have. I actually meant Dan Bigger when I said that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's what you meant. That's who you meant.
No, I'm doing... I don't know if... I saw telling Shanks, Tom Shanklin, the other day that I'm doing some work for a charity called the MPF, the Micro Penis Foundation. And we've reached out to Dan Bigger and Marcus Smith as ambassadors. Just think they've got all the
attributes and
all the ingredients. Yeah.
Two guys I got a lot of time for.
Fellow fly halves.
Yeah, fellow fly halves, yeah.
It's the fly half union.
Exactly.
Let's finish with Exeter, because obviously you're now back in Wales, but Exeter, you were there for a number of years, but you were struggling with some injuries throughout that. But during that period, you guys won European and domestic honours. Quick, can you tell us how good is that Exeter initiation? Because that surely takes you back to the old school and then some more.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I had one of the best initiations I think I've ever had there. So we did a Greatest Showman theme. So we had all the social sects that were the Greatest Showman guy in all, you know, the outfits. I got a couple of good videos because we're not supposed to video it, but Nick White managed to video the social. It was brutal. And so what they did, all the new guys, so it was like me and Santiago Cordero, the two big signings that season, and then a lot of them were all academy. They told us, right, 4 o'clock, met at the club. They said, bring a Mars bar, a pair of white pants, and they were, right, strip naked, put the pants on, let's put the Mars bar in our pants, and obviously we had to keep that the whole time. Blindfolded us, they herded us into this like little cage, couldn't see a thing, it was pitch dark. Like, they were squirting water, flour, the lot on us. You know, we were in there for about an hour or so. They gave us a couple of tinnies in the end. And then what happens is they did like 2x2. So we all got in groups of two. So me and Santi went first, luckily. Because obviously you want to go first because obviously the boys get drunker as the day goes on, don't they? So it gets a bit worse. So they crawl us out like dogs in this thing. Then we had to balance ourselves on this ball drink. We had to run, slide on the slippery slide into water. We had to find something in this water. It was, I don't know if it was water or not. Another pint of like half a pint of vodka. Then we did all like these games, you know, like throw the ball, but like the things were stuck. So if you didn't hit it down, you had to drink again. But we did all this then for ages. And then we finished with like a bum funnel at the end. And then the next two come along. And then obviously as the day goes on, we had these two lads at the end who are the real Chopsy Academy boys. And obviously everyone's absolutely very filled up at this moment in time. And it was a long hour initiation for those boys, those two. They took the full brunt of it. But it was so well organized. The outfits, everyone in each age group was different. Like, so we had mimes, clowns, lion tamers, lions, the lot, you know. It was class, mate. Yeah, very good.
Well, Cuthers, you've been wonderful. Just a quick one before we go chat, no chat. Last one. 2014, night out, you're on the streets, you get a bit handsy with the guy's phone. What happened that night? Was he a sort of infidel?
I came out of this club and there was these guys that were, it was the period where I told you about, like, I had so much shit. It was just ridiculous. They're outside and a guy, they were hurling abuse at me and I was like, yeah, all the best lads. And, one guy had a phone, big flash, and he was like right in my face. And I was like, mate, please, like, don't need that. You know, I'm out with the lads, blah, blah, blah. I was like, seriously, pull it away, otherwise it'll be gone. And he didn't listen. So I grabbed it and I flinged it across Cardiff. And then I had about six of them all want to have a go, but they didn't do anything. So, yeah, and then I thought that was the end of it. And then 6 months later, in middle of Six Nations, the fucker's gone to the press and said, what's happened? And obviously with what was going on with how I was playing, it was just a shit show. Yeah, it was not great timing.
Players online, yeah. Those bastards.
Well, if anyone listens to this podcast, if they want to find out who that person, and we all get all together, we can send him abuse and see if he likes it. Yeah. It'd be lovely. Yeah. 25,000 people.
I had to buy him a new one as well.
Luke Cowan-Dickie.
Chat.
Stuart Hogg.
No chat.
Jack Noel.
I'll give him chat.
Johnny Hill.
Chat.
Sam Warburton.
No chat.
Reese Priestland.
Chat.
Alwyn Jones.
No chat.
Simon Zebo.
Chat.
Shane Williams.
No chat.
Johnny Sexton.
No chat.
And Owen Farrell.
Chat.
Cuthbert, you've been absolutely wonderful, mate. Good luck with the injury.
Boys, pleasure. Appreciate it. Cheers for having me, boys.
Well, that was pretty good. I mean, a lot better than I thought. And actually, an absolute Welsh legend.
Well played, pretty good chat, Cuthbert, mate. I'm clapping here.
Yeah, well played.
Yeah, he came in. He stepped up to play. I didn't expect anything less, really.
No.
He's done it on the big stage. Yeah. And there's no bigger stage than the Rugbiz podcast.
But we've been scarred by Welsh people before,
we
right?
We have. I think, you know, in the past, when you had Reese Priestland, good guy, but wow.
Dan Bigger, nearly.
We nearly had Dan Bigger. Yeah. That would have been a snooze fest.
Close miss, luckily.
Although, a big shout out to Dan Bigger, because we've reached out to him about being an ambassador for the Micropenis Foundation. Apparently, he said it's a cause very close to his heart.
So, Archie, I know we've been finishing off the Clubhouse stories this season, but today we're changing it a bit because we put a little thing out on the Instagram saying, who needs Archie's help? Who's doing things where they need some assistance? And a lot of people got in contact. And so we thought, for the next couple of weeks maybe, we'll phone up a couple of people who need your help and try and guide them through their problems. So this is Archie's helpline.
Have you got a theme tune?
Of course we do.
Oh, mate, play the theme tune.
Let me help you improve your chat.
Archie's helpline, help me, help mine. Trying to prove my life, but I can't at this all the time. Trying to label the chica, but I can't get the itch. Trying to get the promotion, but my buzz has been in a bitch. So help me, please, I'm getting on my knees. Archie Curzon, the magician, show me your magical powers, please.
That's why they call me the magician.
Hello.
Hi, is that Charles?
It is, yeah.
Charles, hi, buddy. It's Archie Curzon, the chief chat officer. I hope this phone call finds you well.
Oh, no way. How's it going, mate?
Yeah, very well, mate. Very well. Q2 is really kicking off. Listen, mate, look really, really quick, because I've got an 11 o'clock, but I bumped into George Kilty in the net.
Yeah.
Basically, I bumped into George and he said to me, you keep wanking when George is with a girl and it's quite disturbing.
King Cuck is the nickname, yeah.
Yeah. And mate, I just think it's not a good look. It's not a good look for you. It's not a good look for your LinkedIn profile. Are we going to make a deal here? You won't wank when
George... I'll tell you what, I'll try my best, Archie.
Okay. Have you got a bird?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. Would she be impressed if she knew you were knocking one off while George is with a girl?
I don't think she'd be very happy, no.
I certainly expect she wouldn't be, no. I mean, look, it's all fun and games. That behaviour is acceptable at boarding school, at university, but we're in the big boys now. We're in London. We're making some money.
League.
We're making coin. You know, you shouldn't be knocking one off when your mate's getting with a bird.
Yeah, I'll try my best to make it stop.
Well, mate, I don't want you to do your best. I want you to cease to do it, mate. Otherwise, mate, I'm going to have to ask you very politely to move to Putney.
Okay.
Are you at work at the moment?
Yeah, I'm just working in the pro shop.
Okay. Is it worth me speaking to your managing director just to see if he can help?
I think this is on a need-to-know basis.
Well, listen, mate, look, I respect that you play golf. That's a good thing. What I don't respect is you knocking one off with when your mate's with a bird. But listen, just try and keep yourself to yourself. Keep your hands to yourself, if you know
no,
what
I'll
I mean.
I'll do my best.
Can I suggest that you get some pyjamas with some pockets and you just put your hands in your pockets when you sleep?
That's not a bad suggestion.
Or ones that have got a zip and then you can zip it up so your hand can't get out, just if you get the urge.
Okay, yeah, I'll keep that in mind.
Okay, good man. Listen, Charles, have a wonderful Q2 and have a wonderful day.
Yeah, you too, mate.
Love and champagne, mate. Love and champagne.
Love and champagne.
Well, Archie, I couldn't be more jealous of you, mate. You had a huge rugby lash last week. You're doing a bit of a fast to get back in shape.
Sure.
And then you got bank holiday followed by a Portugal paddle trip. More holidays on the horizon as well. I mean, it's all kicking off.
I'm very prepared, mate. I haven't felt this prepared going into bank holiday for quite some time. I'm in great shape.
Yeah.
And come the COP of Friday.
What's COP?
Close the play, mate.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
It's a bit of chanter, silly banter. But come the COP of Friday, I'll be ready to go. I mean, the chassis is certainly Clapham Common ready. I'm hoping the weather's going to be good, but whatever the conditions, mate, I'll be turning up and it's going to be loose. And I hope Clapham's ready because I am in the best shape of my life. I'm like Alexander Usyk ready, mate. Doesn't matter what's in front of me.
But he can box. It down.
Yeah. I'm not talking about boxing. I'm talking about the lashing standpoint, mate.
Okay,
you haven't seen anything like it.
Okay.
Get me those Birrios. Get me that Spring Angel. I'm going to be taking it down.
Fucking hell, mate. You're really, really pumped for the weekend, aren't you?
I am. I'm really serious about putting in a performance. It's long overdue. And I know what the Clapham people need, mate. And
what's that?
I'm here for it. They need a performance from Archie Curzon.
Okay. Well, not like another speech.
I think probably a speech to finish the pod is probably the best way to finish the pod, mate.
Are you sure?
I'm feeling pretty emotional.
You ready to motivate?
Yeah. Can you play like a music that represents the Welsh hills? Clapham, it is your leader here, Archie Curzon. I do hope this motivational speech finds you well. I just wanted to give you some assurance that this weekend you will see the best version of me. I have been training for this, and I will lead us into battle. Grab your V-necks. Prepare your chinos. We are taking this bank holiday down. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We'll be there. I'll be there. Let's do this. God bless. Lash well. Love and champagne.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.